Thank you, Darren. And good morning, everybody. That's nice. How many times, Lord, do we hear in God's word to consider or to meditate or to think on these things? And what we're going to cover this morning is a theme that's going to kind of thread through the whole of our day. But before we start, I'd like to just take 2 minutes to kind of just think about these questions. Who is my neighbour? So who do you think is your neighbour? Just kind of answer that in your head if you could. What does it mean to love your neighbour as yourself? When did you last show neighbourly love? Can you remember? When did you last show neighbourly love to somebody? And what did you do? And what actually happened? Now what we're going to look at today, we're going to look at a parable of the Samaritan. Do you know what that is, Darren? It's not an apple. Okay, you know what Darren's like? Actually, Darren was very good when we went to Russia. He cut for me every single day. Pot noodle. It's an art to cut a pot noodle. But I say an onion is, a parable is a bit to me like an onion. You can see on the outside that you've got the skin of the onion. And yet when you slice it open inside, you can see that there's all different layers to the onion. You can peel away at the onion and it reveals another layer. And this is what I think a parable is like, because it's very, sees a very, very simple message, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us. And yet as you peel the layers away, there's a deeper and deeper meaning to what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to say to us. Now we may feel that we've got different neighbours. We may feel compassion for children. We may feel compassion for people that we know in the street or people who might have humanitarian disasters. But who is our neighbour? Is it the person that we talk to over the garden fence? Is it the probably old person who lives down the road who we do some errands for or go to the shop and help them out? Is it the young single mum down the road who could be struggling? Is she our neighbour? Is it somebody who has an accident at the side of the road who we may just walk on by because we don't feel they're our neighbour? Or does this resonate with us, of things that are happening in the world at the moment, humanitarian disasters? Or is it the homeless man who's living on the street? Is he our neighbour? Or is it the pictures that we see daily in the news from around the world, and especially in Africa, of people in starvation? So, who is our neighbour? Is our neighbour just each and every person in this room, and that's it? And once we leave here, our neighbourly love actually stops. Is it the lady who sells the big issue? Is she our neighbour? Is he our neighbour? Now, I could be accused of being discriminatory, putting that up, thinking, oh no, he won't be our neighbour. But would we see him as our neighbour? What about this person? He's probably drunk and fallen over, we assume. Has he been mugged and has he been beaten up and just left there? Is he our neighbour? And these are searching questions for us, aren't they, to who is actually our neighbour? And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to teach us in this parable, the parable of the Samaritan. And we always wonder, why did the Lord Jesus Christ teach in parables? Why didn't he just say, look, this is it, this is your neighbour, this is how you should deal with people, and just give it to them just like that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ taught in parables because he painted a picture for people. He might paint a picture of the lost sheep. Every time you saw the sheep and the shepherd, you think, aha, I remember when the Lord Jesus Christ taught to me about the parable of the lost sheep. Or when he did the parable of the sower. And every time he saw the farmer sowing seeds in the field, he thought, aha, yes, I remember that parable that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to me about. So when we see our neighbour, as in the parable of the Samaritan, do we think, aha, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to teach me? Now, some people can say that the parables were actually just written for the Jews of the time. But I don't believe that. I believe that the parables have a powerful message for us today in our lives of who is our neighbour. But Jesus had a wonderful way of teaching. He's probably the most wonderful teacher that's ever walked upon the face of the earth. There was Benjamin Franklin said, he said, tell me and I'll forget if you teach me. Tell me something and I'll forget. Teach me and I'll remember. But if you involve me, I'll learn. And the Lord Jesus Christ involved them because he drew them in so that they had to go away and had to think upon the things that he had said. If we could just turn to Luke chapter 10. And I just want to tell you a little story before we go there. Now we're going to look at this parable. And we're very fortunate is that we are not like these people in this parable. There's two people in this parable. Well, there's three, but there's two that we aren't like. The Levite and the priest. But are we? What I want you to ask yourself the question as we go through this is, who am I? Who am I in this parable? Now, I would never walk past a neighbour. I would never walk past somebody who needed my help. Or would I? Catherine and myself have just closed one of our businesses in Bury, our salon. And at the side of the salon, every day, sat a man with a cup. And I know what you all think. You could say, well, yes, you give him the cup, you put money in his cup and he'll spend it on drink or he'll spend it on alcohol, on drugs. And yet each day I came from my office up on the third floor, went out the salon, walked to the shop around the corner to get my lunch, and as I saw the man sat there with the cup, I conveniently turned my head away as I walked past him, and as I got past him I turned my head back, went round and got my lunch and did the same thing as I came back. Some days I actually looked at him and thought, should I do something, should I not, and carried on, walked and came back with my lunch and went back upstairs and ate my lunch. Until the last day when I turned the key and closed the salon and walked away, and I was walking to my car and I thought, I'll go and put some money in his cup. And I walked and I dropped some money in his cup and he said, thank you. He says, I only needed £15 a day. And the reason I needed £15 a day is because I didn't want to go in the shelters because there's drunks and there's drug addicts and there's violent people in there. So if I get £15, I can go into a shelter where it's safe and it's comfortable and I can get a meal. But today, I've just got a flat by the council, so I do not need this money anymore. So I said, oh, that's wonderful. I'm really pleased for you. And as I walked away, I heard him say, God bless you. Now, they're very easy words to say, God bless you. But it stops you in your tracks when you think of the words in Hebrews when it says, let brotherly love continue, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby sometimes you have entertained angels unawares. So these things we need to think about. Let's just go to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. And the parable starts where a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this lawyer is not a solicitor that we have nowadays. He's a criminal solicitor. This is a lawyer who knows the law of the Lord, the law of Moses, inside out. If you like, he's got a degree in God's word. He understands God's word inside out. And he says to Jesus, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, in the word of God, there's nothing actually in a way that we can do. We can't purchase eternal life. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in God, believe in the kingdom to come, and then be baptized. But he said to him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Well, what's written in the law? How readest thou?" And he said to him, "Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind." And he says, "And you shall love thy neighbour as thyself." He's correct. Jesus said unto him, "That is right. You are absolutely spot on." He knew it. He knew it. But Jesus said to him, "This do, and thou shalt live." So we might know these things inside out. We might know how to treat our neighbours, but the Lord Jesus Christ is looking at us and saying, "This do, and thou shalt live." But then what would we do? We would do the same as this lawyer. What does he do? He was willing to justify himself, and he said unto Jesus, "Who is my neighbour?" So this lawyer is being challenged here by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, "These things I do." But Jesus says, "You know them, but you're not doing them." So he tries to justify himself. So, okay, who is my neighbour then? Who am I not showing neighbourly love to? So Jesus answered him. And he said unto him, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." So this man's half beaten. He's been mugged, just as that young lad in that picture could have been exactly the same. And he's left there. He's half dead. He's under the heat of the sun on that road. And there's no chance of anybody coming to his aid. The priests were coming down from Jerusalem where they'd been to worship God, and they were coming down to their city in Jericho, along a road which was well known for highway robbers and for muggers. And yet this lawyer's trying to justify himself. How many times do we justify ourselves? It's actually written in the book of Job. It says, "If I justify myself, my own mouth will condemn me. If I say that I'm perfect, it shall prove me perverse." So what does he do? He sees the certain man and he passes by on the other side. Now we wouldn't do that, would we? Yeah, I've done it. As I've just told you before, I've done that in my life. But we could, if we went to the law, we could say, well, the priest was justified in what he did, because the priest could not go near a dead body. So he looked at the man and he could assume he was dead, and he walked by on the other side, because if he touched that dead man he would be unclean for 7 days. So we could say, well, okay, yeah, fair enough, the priest shouldn't have got to him. He didn't know. He didn't take the trouble to go over and to see whether he needed his help. And the man lay there, and the priest passed by on the other side. What hope have I got? And yet, he hears another set of footsteps. He hears a Levite. Verse 32 says, "And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came, and he looked on him, and he passed by on the other side." Do you see the difference? The priest saw him. The Levite, a priest of the high order of Aaron, looked at the man and then passed by on the other side. Now, we wouldn't do that, would we? We're not the priest. We're not the Levite. Or are we? Sometimes the priest and the Levite. So he slumps down again. The second man has passed him by. And surely I'm going to die here now at the side of this road. But then there came a certain Samaritan. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely wonderful in how he taught. He didn't just choose a Greek. He didn't choose somebody from Ethiopia. He chose a Samaritan. So the priest and the Levite were Jews. They should have known the law, to love thy neighbour as thyself. And here now he places before him a Samaritan. And a Samaritan was an anathema to the Jews. To put it bluntly, they hated one another without cause. And the Samaritan passed by on the other side. No, he didn't. He didn't do like the priest and the Levite did. What does he do? He went to him. He had compassion on him first. Then he went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He set him on his own beast. He brought him to an inn and he took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the horse and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Was this Samaritan a doctor? Was he a physician? Was he carrying these bandages and this healing oil and this healing wine? Because it says in the book of Isaiah, from the sole of the foot unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and sores, they've been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. The Lord Jesus Christ poured oil and wine into our wounds. Now my question to you is, do we thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't walk past you? That as a human being, we are all dying. We are half dead. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was hated by the Jews, did not walk past you and I. But he had compassion on you, and he poured in healing oil and wine into your souls. So the parable of the Samaritan speaks to us of how we should lead our lives now. To think when we leave here, who is our neighbour? And do we love our neighbour as ourselves? But let's just continue, because Jesus says to him, now, lawyer, you who knows the law inside out, which of these three, then, do you think was neighbour unto him that fell among thieves? And we'd all put our hands up and say the Samaritan, just like I am. I'm a Samaritan. I love my neighbours myself and help everybody as I can. But what's the lawyer said? And he said, he that showed mercy on him, he couldn't even bring himself to say Samaritan. He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus, and earlier on he said, this do and thou shalt live. Jesus finishes it here by says, go and do thou likewise. So the point to this parable for each and every one of us is go and do thou likewise. But my question is now, who are these characters in this parable? So was the certain man who was beaten and half dead at the side of the road, was he speaking of the children of Israel? And that neither the priest nor the Levite would lift a finger to bring them closer to God. They were more concerned with the law than listening to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and bringing them closer to God. Was that the half dead man at the side of the road? Or was the man who is at the side of the road, as we said, us, in this room? And the children of Israel did not want to bring unclean Gentiles to their God. Was the certain man who was beaten half dead at the side of the road the Lord Jesus Christ who the priest and the Levites, when he was upon the cross, walked by and wagged their heads and passed by on the other side? Was it the Lord Jesus Christ? Was the Samaritan, the Gentiles, or us in this room, who went to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was half beaten and dead for us? So that's where the onion comes in, for you to go and think and meditate about this parable. But I want you to come back to Isaiah chapter 53. And there's a wonderful echo in this of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, and just listen for the echoes of what we've just mentioned in this parable. Verse 3, he was despised, he was rejected of men, he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, and we hid, or we turned, we passed by on the other side, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and he was afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Did you hear the man open his mouth, crying for help? Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 10. It pleased the Lord, his Father, to bruise him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he will see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he will see the travail of his soul, and he will be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So as we said at the beginning, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because there could be angels unawares. Could we just conclude with Psalm 103, if we could, please? And look at the qualities of the Father. Do we have these qualities? He forgives, verse 3, all iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 8, he is merciful. He is gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. The qualities I'm sure that each and every one of us show every single day of our lives. He has not dealt with us after our sins, and we thank him for that. Does he reward us according to our iniquities? No. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Like as a father, verse 13, pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just love those who he felt sorry for. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't just love his disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ just didn't love his followers. He loved everyone. He loved his enemies. Because surely it's easy to love people who love you. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says that you have heard it was said, love your neighbours and you hate your enemies. But he says, I say no, love your enemies also. So our last set of questions, who was Jesus' neighbour? You were Jesus' neighbour. And what did he do to show love to you? He gave his life. What example has he left us? So the parable speaks to us of how we should love our neighbour as ourselves. Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, will all people we come into contact with know that we are his disciples. Thank you.